Nobody likes the words, "You fool!" And here's a man in our gospel reading, here's a man who comes to Jesus and he says, well, he was probably the second son, not the first son. Because in those days, the first son got all the inheritance. And then he would dole out who gets what and what have you. But here the second son is saying, give me my inheritance. Even though you're still alive, I want what's mine. Reminds me of a two-year-old. What's a two-year-old's favorite word?
Mine.
I want that cookie on the shelf. I want this toy. I want this goodie in the grocery store. And some of us haven't got past that. I know that sometimes I fall back in that trap too. Well, gee, my car is 11 years old. I'd really like a new one. Well, these pants are pretty old. I need to replace them. You know, I really like fishing, and to do the fishing the right way that I would like, I need a boat. You know what God says to that? Bah, humbug. Terry, you don't need a boat. So does my wife. See, we're hung up on material things. We want to have nice clothes. We want to have nice everything. But you're right, yeah, you're kibitzing a little bit about my sermon here. And the answer is just what she said. How many have you seen people stuff all of their money in a casket when they get buried?
I heard about it on Facebook. He insisted that he was going to
take home. I remember my brother-in-law got buried with his fishing pole because he was a fisherman. And some of that's okay. Remember, it's a funeral is for the living, not for the dead. But yet, what is God telling us to do? He says, store up your treasures in heaven. Well, how do we do that? How do we store up our treasures in heaven? It's how we live our life. See, God makes it real simple. There's some of us that are not smart enough to count to 10 and the 10 commandments. So he made it simple. He gave us two. Love God, love one another. Everything is in those two commandments. So when he says, store up your treasures in heaven, take what God has given you and share it with one another. Now, does that mean give away everything you have? I don't think so. I don't think the Bible says anything against people having money or possessions. It's what you do with them and what you use them for. Well, what are your possessions? And some of you might say, well, I'm not rich. I'm living hand to mouth. I'm lucky. I can pay for my medications and also buy my food. Okay. God is looking at what your real possessions are. It's between your ears, your mind. What do you do with your mind? Where do you go with your mind? our Bible study, we talked about TV. When you turn the TV on, what do you watch? There's some really good stuff on TV. Some of the documentaries and some of the programs are really funny and enjoyable, and yet there's still a lot of garbage on there. A lot of violence, a lot of sex, a lot of just junk. Where does your mind go? God is asking you to put things, your mind on things heavenly. Okay, well, what else is God asking us to do? God is calling us into ministry. Oh, wait a minute. I'm the one who wears the fancy robes. I'm the minister, right? And we have a deacon who's a minister. And we have a lay Eucharistic minister. They're the ones, right? If you read the prayer book, under the catechism, it says, who are the ministers of the church? And guess who's listed first? You are. The laity. The laity are the ministers of the church. Why? Well, how many clergy do we have in this church? How many lay people do we have in this church? Over 100. What's your ministry? Well, I see there's a spot here that's open. There's an empty pew here. There's a big empty pew, another empty pew, another empty pew, some empty pews back there. It's your job to fill them, not the priest. It's your job to invite and ask people to come to church. Last night, Mary and I asked a couple to come here. There are no-show. I asked that same couple about a month ago. There are no-show. You know, in the sales and marketing world, they say you get 8.2 no's for every yes. So, there's a lot of us who don't like people to say no. They might think ill of us or something. But we're called to go out and ask. We're called out to bring people here. Because in 100 years from now, we won't be here. Who will? It's up to us to invite and bring people here. Yes, we'll get a few people who move into the area. But the churches that are growing because the members are asking others to come and join them because we like what's going on in our church. Do you like what's going on here?
Yes.
Do you like St. John's?
Yes.
I didn't hear you. Oh, come on.
Yes.
All right. We've got to have a positive attitude and go out and invite people to come. Gee, Ben,
yes, sir.
What are you doing? Come and join us on Sunday for church, okay? All right, great. And what if he says no? He's not going to shoot me. He's just going to say no this time. Remember, there was one friend of mine years ago, I was inviting him, and it took me 5 years to get him to come. But I went after him, in a nice and loving way. And I'm not saying poke somebody in the nose with it. I'm saying invite and say, we've got a wonderful church and a wonderful congregation. And you do. This is a lovely church and a friendly church. It's one of the reasons why Mary and I came back here. There's a lot of other Episcopal churches in the Melbourne area, but we came here. Why? Because of you. Because of you. So our job, keep it up, but also keep inviting over and over again. Look at how Jesus did it. He started with 12. Then he dropped down to 11. And then they bounced back to 12. And they went out into the world, and thousands upon millions came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's your job here in Melbourne. So just do it. Amen.